In my parents' generation, they used to talk about where they were when they heard the news that JFK had been shot. That was something that changed their entire worldview. Made such a strong impression upon them. Everybody would get around and talk about it. I remember where I was the day that JFK was shot. I heard also in a similar vein, musicians would talk about where they were the first time they heard the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper. It made such an impression upon them. Okay. Lahavdil, my chaverim, right? A little bit older than you guys. We remember where we were when we heard the news, Gimel Tammuz, that Lubavitch Rebbe had passed away. And as we're coming up to Gimel Tammuz, it's the Shabbos, it's Hashem, it's always kedai to speak and to learn from the teachings of the Tzaddik. Now, what we really want to do by this is to have a hiskashrus. How does one have a hiskashrus with Tzaddikim in general, with Lubavitch Rebbe Befrat? So the way that the Svarim HaKadoshim explain, how do we create a connection, is through following their Eitzes. When the Tzaddik, through his Svarim, through his public teachings, gives an Eitzah, and we follow the Eitzes of the Tzaddik, that's our connection. So I saw something interesting. Earlier this year, as Parshas Aviv told us, I took my son, we went to Crown Heights for a Shabbos. I think it had been 25 years since I'd spent a Shabbos in Crown Heights. And we were by the Kunin house. They hosted us, and he had this sefer here, Positivity Bias. So what I'd like to learn with you, again, Lakava Gimel Tammuz, is just a small section from the sefer. Here it is, chapter 14 in Positivity Bias, about what was Lubavitcher's approach, what was his eitzes, and through following these, we can create our connection and strengthen our attachment with Lubavitch Rebbe. So it's discussing a topic that is common. Any sensitive spiritual person wants to know, what's the way to really grow? Is the approach rather on sur meira, turning away from evil, fighting it head on? Or should my approach be aseh tov, do good things, and that's how I'll become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And perhaps within different chedarim, within different schools of thought, for example, we could take the classic Navardic versus Slobodka approach, right? Do I focus on the Shiflus Ha'odim or on the Gadlus Ha'odim, the Gadlus Ha'bari? What's my starting point? So over to here, in Chassidus Svarim, the question is, what's my starting point? And that actually is a machlokas within the Chassidim. The Shpola Zayde would advocate the approach that really one should start first with Sumira. Get rid of all the negativity in your life. You know, take more of a defensive approach to it, right? Silence is right, that inner voice of negativity. And then after you got through all the improper thoughts and your machshavas, all your diburim, all your meisim, then you'll devote your energy to doing good things. Okay, now what happens in this approach? You have to focus on like the lower drives that we have inside of us, and you got to identify them and deconstruct them and work with them, and that's the pasuk, right? If you look in the pasuk, the raya is first it says sur meira v'ase tov. First you have to turn away from the evil, then you do good. Okay, that's the order, and that was the approach of the Shpola Zayde. The Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, took a different approach, and he says you should be more offensive, be a little bit more proactive, right? Rather than putting yourself under a microscope, that brings us down into dirty places, right? As it says in Tanya, you know, when you struggle, when you wrestle with a dirty person, you get dirty yourself, right? Politicians could definitely sympathize with this idea. That's what he writes here. But the idea is, we know, as in Tanya, right, in the beginning, Prakim discussed that we have a Yitzhahara and a Yitzhah Tov. So what's the approach? So in the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this idea about having a positivity bias, that's the name of this book over here, that you got to always focus on the positive, right? Rather than deconstructing the darkness, you got to bring out the light that's there. I remember there's a story. There was a girl, I believe she was learning in a Chabad yeshiva in Minnesota, and she said, "I'm selfish. I think about myself." And she had a lot of medical documentation to all the tests that she had undergone that proved that her conditions. So the principal of her school announced, just, why don't you write a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe and explain to him, you know, what your issue is. So she writes, I'm selfish, etc. They arrange a meeting. She comes to New York, she arranges a meeting with the Rebbe, And she presents him this whole, like, thick, you know, pages upon pages of her whole medical history. And she hands it, and the Rebbe was a speed reader. He went through it quickly, and he reads the whole thing and says, okay, what's the problem? She says, what do you mean? What's the problem? I'm selfish. Look at all this thing, all these issues, all these, all this trauma I have. He says, it's very simple. When you go to the lunchroom, or the cafeteria, and it's time to eat, offer somebody else food first. Think about somebody else first. And then you'll see that the darkness will fade away. And that was the Babachavis Mahalach. Again, I'm telling you, it's a long story. We've said it over in more in-depth in previous occasions, but that's it. Do good. I mean, I'm selfish? Don't be selfish. Forget about all the why I act this way, why I do this, why. Forget about the whys. That's the rearview mirror. What am I going to do now? So offer the chicken is served on the table. Offer somebody else. Here, can I give you the nicest piece on the platter? Can I serve you before myself? Can I put your needs ahead of mine? That was the idea of this. The idea about thinking on the positive was the key things over here. He has an idea over here. He says, I'm going to read you a quote. Night is banished through illumination, not elimination, right? That by doing more good things, then automatically the darkness in our life is going to fall away. You got to be over it. They have mice over here of a boy who, even though he was eating well in yeshiva, every night whenever he would come home, he would open up the refrigerator. You know, stam, curiosity. He would like to look to see what was in there, and he realized this is a chisor, and really, you know, it's not becovetic, you know, just, you know, he's not gnashing, he just wants to see what's in the fridge. So they were labeled Kaplan. So he went to the Rebbe and explained to him what happened. So the Rebbe said, you know, imagine if you were like, you know, a Rosh Yeshiva, you know, or like the CEO of some big important firm, right? You have big influence over everybody else. So if you were such a person like that, to go check the fridge, that would be beneath your dignity. So picture yourself, put yourself in that mental space now, and therefore you realize that, you know, pasnish, I'm above this. And that's what you did. You know, this idea of visioning yourself as being greater than who you really are, of achieving great things, that was the Rebbe's mahalach, about always keeping the positive side and looking to make ourselves greater through who we could become. He says here, don't be influenced, be an influencer. I'm going to read you, again, this is on page 177. Dov Lent, a young student worried that the distractions and temptations of his new university would derail him from living an observant life. The Rebbe encouraged him not to allow the secular campus environment to consume too much of his attention. The best way to deal with the evil inclination, with the challenging environment in particular, is not to engage in a fight with it, the Rebbe said. Don't put yourself in an encounter with it in the first place. Rather, take your mind away from the whole temptation by saying to yourself, I'm too busy. I have no time for such things. I have learning to do, a mitzvah fill. I'm helping somebody. Years later, Reb Dov Lent reported that he spent his free time at university learning Torah with a similarly concerned study partner. Additionally, he helped organize campus Shabbatons for the whole community. Rather than the secular environment influencing me in a negative way, I was able to spiritually influence it in a positive way. And that's the famous vort from the Kotzker Rebbe, saying that I want chassidim, they're too busy doing things. They don't have time to do averus. They'll be so busy with it. And if we busy ourselves with positive things, then they won't be able to automatically the negative things. There's the Rambam like that in the end of Hilchos HaSeribia that talks about like inappropriate thoughts. They're only found in a person whose mind is empty. But if you fill your mind up with meaningful things and you're always looking at the positive, that was the Lubavitch Rebbe's Mahalach, was always to focus on the positive in its interactions with people. And as we spoke about many times, stressing and emphasizing the commonality between us, to build bridges. Yes, there might be 2% that divides us, but let's talk about the 98%. Let's talk about the 98% of things that connect us with each other, and we agree upon them. We're in the same hashkafa with that. The 2% is the 2%, but that's not going to make connections. That's not going to bring us closer to each other. In reality, if you think about it, we're much more connected than we are detached. This idea about encouraging others and seeing the positive in them. There's a story we related to, I think it was last year maybe on Gimel Tammuz, but it's Kedai. If you, you know, there's a website, RebbeClips.com. We'll give them a good plug. RebbeClips.com. And you look, they'll have, like, from different groups, they have, you know, different videos of their Admorim. And, you know, some, depending on how many videos they have, they'll have 20 videos, 30 videos, 50 videos, 70 videos, whatever it is. When you go to Lubavitch, they have hundreds and hundreds of videos. There's so much out there. So one of the videos you can see it. I could put it on the, send it out in the chat. You could see there's a Meshumad there. And he's coming to get the dollar bills. The Rebbe used to give out dollar bills on Sundays. And everywhere, Jews, non-Jews, everyone used to come to get a dollar and get a bracha. And this Meshuman comes to the Rebbe and says, I'm a Christian. I'm from a Jewish family, but I became a Christian at age 29. I'm Catholic today, and I write these books. And he offers the Rebbe his Christian books, and he urges the Rebbe to embrace what he embraced. So the Rebbe didn't ask his geboyim, you know, get this Meshuman out of here. He says, if a person is born a Jew, he's a Jew for his entire life. He cannot change that. He can only make his life more complicated and more miserable. So the Meshumad says to the Rebbe, my life's not miserable today. I'm very content. I discovered Yashka. Right? Could you imagine? He tells the Rebbe, I discovered Yashka. So the Rebbe very calmly and says, if somebody is ill but thinks that he's healthy, that's the worst type of illness. And the Rebbe explained to him that for a Jew to convert to Christianity, it's a betrayal. It's a profound betrayal of his neshama and of God. And if you don't realize how serious this is, the severity of this, it means you really need help. And at this point, something strange happens. This Meshuman who came to influence the Rebbe, he melts. And he starts to apologize. He says, Rebbe, my parents never took me to a synagogue, ever. And the Rebbe, his eyes were full of compassion. He says to the man, there's no reason for someone healthy to become sick just because his parents never gave him the medicine he needed. Well, and this Meshuman is just speechless. You see, he's quiet, right? The Rebbe, Mamish, brought back his soul. The Rebbe says to him, you should merit to be a Jew in public and announce to all those around you it was a big mistake to convert. But Hashem has mercy and he forgives even the biggest sins that people commit. Right? And after giving him the bracha, the Rebbe tells him, don't get in arguments with anybody about religious issues because you're born a Jew and you're always going to be one. And the Rebbe added, he should act like a Jew publicly and all those around you, especially your family, you have the ability to bring them back to Jewish observance by declaring that even who sinned grievously has the power from Hashem to recover from his deep sickness. So then the Meshumad asked the Rebbe, can I give you a copy of my book? And the Rebbe agrees. What in the world is the Rebbe doing? So the Rebbe explained to him, if I take the book from you, you're going to have one less book to give out, and that way I'm going to prevent you from causing another Jew to be nichshol by accepting your ideas. Then you see he takes the book and like he throws it to the side. Right? It's an amazing video, right? I can send it out. Now, again, what year is that? 1991. But now here's the conclusion. Let's fast forward 24 years later, right? 2015. It's a summer camp for Chabad yeshiva in Switzerland, and the boys found the same Jew wearing talis and tefillin, and he's learning Torah in the shul. This yid came back to his Judaism publicly, and that was the Rebbe's message. It's then and it's now. It's Gimel Tammuz coming up, but the message is so clear as what it said originally. Never put yourself down. Never put other people down. Always remember who we really are, who we could be, who we should be. It's part of our spiritual DNA. It's who we are. We have to look at ourselves in that yeshiva bachur who saw himself small. See yourself as being a Rosh Yeshiva. See yourself as being a CEO. See the grandness, the truth, and the exalted, the nobility of our neshamas. And that was the Rebbe's whole mahalach. Always to focus on the positive. He had a positivity bias. And if we incorporate these ideas, if we take the Rebbe's marching orders and we put positivity bias into our perception of ourselves, to our perceptions of our friends, of our family, of our talmidim, of our mispalalim, of our chavrusas, of everybody we come encounter with, we see the positive in them. I'm just going to end off. This week was also the yahrzeit of Reb David Trink. And they put out a beautiful art scroll, put out a beautiful video. Yoel Gold does all these inspirational videos. They put out like a 20-minute video, and they tell a story that Reb David Trink was in a car repair shop in Lakewood, and I guess the owner of the name was a guy named Lipa, and he tells the Rebbetzin Trink about her husband, Reb David Trink, all of a sudden did. That there was this big guy with tattoos and he used to come and everyone got scared of him. And only Reb David Trink, when he walked over to him, he gave him a big hug and a kiss. He says, my brother. They said, my brother? What are you talking about? You know this guy? He says, no, but didn't you look? The guy was wearing a mug in David around his neck. He's a yid. He says, we never saw that. We never saw that. Oh, he was wearing it all the time. We never looked to see that. If we look and we train our eyes to see the geula, to see the good in every single one, it's there. We have to just search it out. And that was the Mahalach, certainly Reb David Trank, the Lubavitch Rebbe, and with all these Eitzes Tovas and the Rebbeim and our Tzaddikim have given to us, when we incorporate them into our lives, then that brings the world one step closer to Mashiach. Okay, Shkoich everybody, and wishing you all a wonderful day.